Welcome to the School Sucks Project, a podcast, YouTube channel, and online community dedicated to personal growth and intellectual self-defense. We promote learning alternatives, home education, critical thinking, peaceful parenting, organization and productivity, and better communication strategies. Please remember to visit schoolsucksproject.com. Follow us on Twitter at School Sucks Show. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, username School Sucks Podcast, and get involved in our Facebook group. Just search for School Sucks Project.
Hey everybody, this is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks. Today is Christmas. Merry Christmas. In the opening to the show there, you were getting just a little sample of some of the exciting new Christmas music coming out of these socially aware college campuses all over America. I hope you enjoy these songs. And on this very special day, a gift for you of sorts. So let me tell you a little bit about what I'm doing here. There's a new year upon us. In that new year, 2016, if you don't have a calendar in front of you, there's going to be many exciting changes coming for the School Sucks Project, and one of those changes is a lot more material added to our bonus content section, which I call the AV Club. In fact, probably about half of what we produce in 2016 will wind up being bonus material. Now, don't worry, we're going to produce more in this coming year, so there'll still be plenty of free but valuable podcast entries. But there's a cost for the storage of audio files online and the bandwidth needed to download them. So I need to start clearing some of the older stuff out. And as I've said before, I always get a little bit discouraged when I see some of these entries that I thought were really entertaining and even educational. There's plenty of educational stuff in the bonus content section as well. Have 12 listens or 15 or even 25 listens. That's not enough. So I made myself a little list of some of the items that I thought were undiscovered or underappreciated, and I'm going to let them go today for free. This also provides me an opportunity to express my gratitude to you, the listener, for your participation and your engagement in the School Sucks Project. I am really, really grateful that you still listen to the show. There are a lot of podcasts out there. Now, granted, many of them suck, but there are a lot of people competing for your precious time and attention. And this is the best method that I have of sending a nice little gift to thousands and thousands of people. So don't try to listen to all this stuff today. You know, spend time with your family, your girlfriend, or your boyfriend, or your husband, or your wife, and your kids, and your grandma. Oh gosh, your grandma. You know, don't let grandma wind up in the corner while you argue with your uncle and your dad about Donald Trump. Bring her into the fold. She's got stories. She lived through Operation Desert Storm. But yeah, that's it for now. There's more news coming on the changes we're going to be making in 2016. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas or whatever, and a happy new year. And you know what? I'm proud of this collection of additional content that we produced. If you're already a subscriber, if you're already making a monthly contribution and you're a member of the AV Club, I hope there's some exciting discoveries in these next 9 installments. And of course, if you're a regular listener and you're still listening, which means you find this show entertaining and valuable, I hope you'll consider supporting us. You go to schoolsucksproject.com/AV and you can sign up there. Thank you in advance. Up next, one of the strangest recordings you're probably ever going to hear in this feed. It is episode 84 of Wheels Off Liberty podcast, recorded back in 2011. This was a comedy show that I used to co-host with Jamie Crane and Mike Maddox. All 17 episodes of Wheels Off Liberty on which I appeared are in the AV Club. That is the only place on the internet where they still exist. One time we had Stefan Molyneux on as our guest, and we made him interview Osama bin Laden when Osama bin Laden called in from heaven shortly after he was supposedly executed. I don't know what to say. There's some very strong language in this show and adult themes. Good heavens, adult themes. So You've been warned. What you're about to hear is offensive and bizarre.
You're listening to the Wheels Off Liberty podcast. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Brett.
And I'm neither.
And you're tuned into the podcast. What? Who the hell is this?
It's Stefan Molyneux from Freedom Main Radio. How are you doing, my brothers in freedom?
How did you get our number, dude? That's what I want to know.
How did I get your number? Dude, I mean, you use your iPhone, don't you? I can track you everywhere. By the way, what the hell are you eating that you have got to spend so much time in that toilet? I don't understand it. That backsplash must have you waddling around like a greased duck.
Good grief, man. Everybody, welcome to the show. Stefan Molyneux. You know, how the hell do you pronounce your last name, man?
I tell you, not that way.
It's not
Molyneux.
You know
what that sounded like? That sounded like, you know, in Terminator 2 when that big machine crushes the robot and he goes, blah, 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 and that sort of sounded like a dying robot screaming, it's exhaling gasp in French. Right. Molyneux is the way it goes. So see if you can give that a shot, unless you need a couple more shots to get the French right.
Ah, a couple more shots. So you know about the drinking on Wheels Off Liberty. Did you grace us tonight with an alcoholic beverage, Stefan?
Our
listeners love that.
I have, and this is how much I drink. We have a barbecue here for listeners every summer. And left over from last summer, I have a beer. It's a Molson Canadian. I would like to tell you a joke, if I may, since this is about a comedy show. The joke goes a little something like this. What is the difference between sex in a canoe and American beer? What is the difference between sex in a canoe and an American beer?
Either way, you're going to make that pussy wet.
Well, there's actually no difference. They're both fucking close to water.
That was a good guess, though, wasn't it, dude?
That was a very good guess. Yeah, this is, I think, 6% alcohol. So that's, that's quite a lot, I think, relative to the mostly water stuff that you drink. So cheers.
Well, I'm telling you right now, dude, that's some of the most un-American sounding beer I've ever heard.
Yes, and it even has a Canadian flag on it, so it really is north of the border, no question.
I don't know if we should even talk to him. You know that me and Brett are just straight-up American-loving people.
So what are you drinking on,
absolutely,
Jamie?
I'm drinking the unofficial sponsor of Wheels Off Liberty, which is Jim Beam. How you like that? You're 6% alcohol.
Well, I think you've got me beat by quite a percentage, because that stuff you sneeze near an open flame and you lose at least one eyebrow. So I'm going to have to hand it to you there.
No, dude, it's great to have you on the show. Everybody can look. You can listen to Stefan or watch his little videos. He loves himself, by the way. He's got to film his podcast because he's such a masturbator that he watches himself.
Yes, but I do have forearms like Popeye, so it really does it does work out that way.
So what's the name of your show? Tell our listeners where to find your show at, Stefan.
Sure, it's at freedomainradio.com, and you can also catch me on television every week, usually Monday, 7 p.m., on the great Adam versus the Man at adamversustheman.com, vsthemann.com, or rt.com, Russian television.
Now, Adam versus the Man, that's Adam Kokesh, right?
It certainly is. And he is the kind of host that really makes you want to do some push-ups before you go on his show. Because, man, is he buff. And I look like a noodle-armed, really kind of anemic philosopher guy next to his supremely buff body. So, basically, I'm just pumping iron before I go on his show. And that's my approach. It's the only thing I've got to offer.
Brett, this is the gayest thing I've ever heard, dude.
Oh, come on. Let me get a little bit more into this beer and talk about Adam's biceps. We've got a lot more gay to come. Please, be patient. Be patient. Look, not only have you got gay, but you've got gay with a little bit of a British accent, which is about, it's like, it's icing on the gay cake. And it's gay icing. It's pink icing in the shape of on the gay cake. That's really what I'm saying.
One thing about Adam Kochkis that I can't say his name either, but all of y'all American haters have funny names. You got Molyneux and Kokesh and Brett Vonnott,
Barack Obama.
It's actually Vinwalk. It's French.
I know Brett, and I still can't say his name, so it don't matter. Taryn. What kind of name's Taryn? Glad he ain't even recording tonight. It's finally a good show again. But anyway, Adam, he goes out to the Republican convention, holds up a sign, and next thing you know, he's got a radio show. Good. They let anybody have a show anymore. I'm going to hold up a sign against Republicans, and everybody love me and listen to my radio show. I didn't do that on Wheels Off Liberty, and look where I am. Trailer park in Oklahoma.
It's a big sign saying, career disaster this way. That's the arrow, I think. You're like this big warning sign, you know, the kids, this is what happens if you don't get your own radio show.
So tell me, Stefan, on Wheels Off Liberty, man, we have some really big name guests every once in a while. I mean, giant names. You'll watch like Fox News and they'll have guys like Ron Paul on every once in a while, or who's that? Mike Huckabee, I think he's on Fox News. All those, the name players and everything. But on Wheels Off Liberty, we have very, very special guest. And you're in for a treat tonight, my brother, because we have right here the number for heaven. And our publicist has contacted St. Peter and got us an interview with none other than Osama bin Laden. Have you ever interviewed a guest that big?
I got to tell you, that's quite a get. And that's pretty impressive for a small show on the corner of the internet to have scooped every major news organization, not to mention every 14-year-old's Ouija board in the universe to actually get through to this character. That is some pretty impressive stuff. So, you know, hats off to you. Kudos to you. Let's get straight into it, because that is something to hear.
All right, let me find this number real quick.
I think it starts with area code 666, but I could be wrong.
Let's see. Dialing. See. Hey, this is Jamie with Wheels Off Liberty. I got Stefan and Brett with me. It's an honor. Is this Osama bin Laden? Is this you?
Oh, yes, this is me. This is Osama bin Laden. Thank you for calling me. I've listened to you a very long time.
Oh, it's good to have you.
What the hell kind of accent is that? He's hiding in the left nutsack of Kim Jong-il. Anyway, go on.
In heaven, all the brown people sound exactly the same. It's Mexican, it's everything. We all sound the same. There's no discrimination in heaven.
I did think it sounded a little Mexican or Latin, which is surprising.
You know, all you need for an American audience is not American. You know, just foreign. And that's really all. There's no differentiation. Not here. And maybe even someplace close to California, but not here for sure. And that's really all you need. So
Osama, man, let's get to this interview, man. We have several questions for you, because I always figured that you were probably on the payroll of the United States. Something must have went just terribly wrong with that, man.
It happens, you know. George W. and I were great friends, but Obama never liked me. He used to use the sand N-word, and that would hurt Osama's feelings.
The sand N-word.
I didn't know you were I didn't know you were so sensitive, Osama.
Oh, yes. I was not always this sensitive man, though. I used to be very harsh and demanding, but one day, after I beat one of my wives senseless for showing too much ankle, I started questioning myself. I then bought her some booty shorts and started tipping her for lap dances from the stash of dollars that Dick Cheney would send
me. My goodness, man.
Well, I guess I have a question. So Obama, it would appear that they found penis-enhancing drugs in your compound, something like Viagra. It's not exactly Viagra, to keep your, you know, your Johnson pointing skyward. So basically, it's not every tower in the world that you wanted to come down. Is that a fair way of putting it?
Yes, that is very fair. But to be honest, Osama did not run those airplanes into those buildings.
I would imagine that it's rather tricky getting through airport security with a 2-ton dialysis machine trundling behind you. I've got to think, given that I have to empty a penny out of my pockets, that might set off a few alarms. So I think that was probably wise to not do it yourself.
So you were talking about Dick Cheney And he would send you dollars? I mean, did you ever keep in close contact with Dick Cheney?
Oh, yes. It is because that Quaker State drinking fucker that I got myself shot. He was over at the house watching the movie Strange Brew, and I forgot to turn his iPhone off. I vowed to declare jihad on Steve Jobs. Blah, la, 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 la.
I have a question for Osama, if your voice has recovered from your enthusiasm. I have a question for Osama. So, according to certain interpretations of Islamic law, you get 72 virgins in heaven. That's correct. So, what I don't understand is that in heaven, I don't think anybody ages. Like, you don't get older because you're never going to die. So, nothing about your body changes. So, isn't it the case that these women are going to stay virgins for the rest of time? And isn't that just like, I don't know, having an itch that you can't ever quite scratch? That doesn't quite seem like heaven to me, to have 72 beautiful women around that you can't touch. Is that what's occurring, or is there something different?
Osama hates that. Osama has 72 virgins, and they just keep telling me that they love me. They always text me, "I love you, Osama," and put a little smiley face at the end. It really wears Osama's balls out. And besides that, every time I make love to them, it is bloodier than my death scene there on Earth. I'm up to my knee deep in pussy, but goodness, it's not any good. Give me 36 sluts next time I die. They're better than 72 virgins any day.
That's good to know. It's good to get that kind of feedback on what's going on in heaven there, because I guess it's heaven for you with these women around, but I guess they're not exactly in heaven. They must have been very bad in a past life to end up with you as their, you know, pleasing man meat provider.
Osama got giant cock.
Oh my goodness, this is very revealing. Steph, these are some hardball questions, and we're really getting accurate and detailed answers here.
I really like how Osama refers to himself in the third person, thus reminding me of Elmo on Sesame Street. You know, Elmo hungry. Just like how Osama's referring to himself in the third person. That's good. You know, that shows a lack of self, I guess, and a challenging grasp of the English idiom. So, but I still can't get the image of Elmo and 72 virgins out of my head, though I certainly hope that the beer will help.
You make fun of Osama one more time and I slice your fucking throat.
You slice my balls?
I think he just said he'd slice, your slice throat, my throat, Stefan. Okay.
So heaven's been going good. It's treating you good.
Sometimes I did get lonely though for my good friend George W. Bush, but you know it's better than I thought. George W. Bush come to heaven every once in a while and talk to Osama.
You're kidding me.
Whoa, that's kind of crazy, dude. How does George Bush get to heaven?
Well, ask him. He's right here. Do y'all want to talk to George W. Bush?
Hey there.
Goodness, it's George W. Bush. George, how do you get to heaven, dude?
Well, you see, long story short, you guys know, you understand, I'm sure, that the Earth is run by transdimensional lizard Jews, right? Am I revealing that? Am I breaking that on your show?
No, we've have known this on Wheels Off Liberty.
Well, we go to Bohemian Grove. These they wear suits, so they look like us, but they are our masters, and they taught me how to do the transdimensional teleportation, so I can get to and from. See what I'm saying?
Man, that's amazing. So you just go to heaven to hang out with Osama bin Laden and like kick it with him?
I go up on the weekends. We have like a Sunday dinner, and then we watch The Sopranos, which is conveniently still on the air in heaven. It's like in its 12th season. Tony is still kicking ass, taking names. Great.
It is great to hang out with George W. Bush on every weekend and watch The Sopranos. We are good buddies.
Yeah, well, you know, we go way back. It was actually Osama's brother that got me started in the oil business, a little company called Arbusto. We used to drill dry holes in Texas. And his brother, Salim. How's that crazy dickhead doing anyway, Osama, Obi? I call Osama Obi, short for Osama Bin. It's like my nickname for him.
You know, one question that I would have for Osama, first of all, is when exactly did you die? Could you tell us?
Osama been dead for like 10 years, but his name out of the limelight. I died many years ago, and my body has been hidden in the deep freeze of the White House.
We were friends, and I couldn't come to terms with the fact that he was gone, so I never told anybody. But this was like 10 years ago. It was hard.
So you just kept him in your house? You kept him in the White House, George?
Yeah, but on ice. We use ice for dead people that we want to reveal later.
Man, that's hard-hitting news right there. So, guys, I mean, we're going to have to go to a commercial break here in a minute, but it's been a great honor to have you both on Wheels Off Liberty at the same time. I mean, I feel like I've really learned a lot of things. I mean, but I got one more question for y'all. Has somebody already taken over as the lead terrorist against the United States?
We have all the terrorists that we need. We have like 300 million people who are all looking at each other all funny. And they've gotten very comfortable with the idea of being treated like criminals. So we don't need like a new terrorist mastermind, because all the American people are terrorists now. See how that works? It's beautiful.
Yes. And also, all you got to do is look at the brown person that the USA is giving weapons and money to. First, it was Mohammed Mazadak, and then it was Saddam Hussein, and then me, Osama bin Laden. I would warn any Mexican that is taking food stamps to be very cautious. We had to go now.
Three words. Transdimensional lizard Jews.
Well, that was Osama bin Laden and George W. Bush that somehow the lizard Jews have transported to heaven. Let's give them a warm applause that for coming on Wheels Off Liberty, guys. That was absolutely insane, man. You never know what you're going to get when you listen to Wheels Off Liberty. We'll be right back with more of the show. Are you pursuing that hot chick that's so far out of your league, but you still want to get with her in that most special, dirty kind of way? Well, try giving her some of George's famous baklava. It's a walnut baklava with over 50 melt-in-your-mouth layers made with only the freshest and all-natural ingredients. Now, it doesn't taste good enough for her to sleep with you, but if she eats a tray of that, she'll turn into a complete badass and be brought down to your level. Check out Mandrick.com, that's MANDRIK.com, and get her some of that baklava today. You're back with more Wheels Off Liberty with Jamie, Stefan, and Brett. And you just heard a word from George's famous baklava. Do you know George, Stefan?
I do. The man has some excellent baklava. My wife is Greek, and she said that it was like the old country. And so it's highly recommended.
Is she as hairy as George? Because he's a hairy son of a bitch, dude.
She has quite the head of hair. She has to take a good run at a single width door, because she's got, especially if it's humid out, she's like Diana Ross, with, electrodes going through her. So yeah, she's got some hair, but not that back of the knuckle, back of the knuckle down, you know, where the hairline meets up with the eyebrows, like some sort of Cro-Magnon thing. She's not that way like the Greek guys, but yeah, no, there's definitely, together, she and I have like a normal human head of hair, so that's the way it works here.
Our theory is that George, who in his current Facebook picture is wearing a turban, it appears in a picture that he took of himself, is part of a sleeper cell, and the food is supposed to become popular, and then he will use it to poison people.
Wow, you have a pretty complicated relationship with a pretty simple dessert. Well, it does taste good, but it's going to kill me.
Right.
You could just diet, man. I'm just saying.
So last week, man, Brett and I, we had promised our listeners the week before that we were going to talk about candidates like Ron Paul in voting. But sure enough, Osama bin Laden got killed, which, by the way, came on Wheels Off Liberty in the last episode, which was total greatness. But we got carried away and talked about Osama bin Laden's death last week. But and we kind of left our listeners hanging on a topic that we kind of teased the previous week, which was, is it moral to even vote for Liberty candidates. I mean, is it okay for Jamie Crane, which has every good intention in the world, that would never even consider going to steal from his neighbor in order to fund any program in the world? Is it okay for the voluntarist mindset and the anarchist mindset to go out and actually cast a vote for any candidate at all?
I would have to say no. I mean, I don't think that, everything that we're trying to do that we would like to see, the world become, and I know it's different for everybody, and we understand that it will take a great deal of time, but we've seen, aside from the failure of political solutions or political thinking, that, Ron Paul being president could somehow reverse the things that we've seen in the last 10 or 20 or 50 or 100 or 200 years in this country. I think that, this has to start on a personal level, and I think that people should be consistent when it comes to their attitudes towards the public life. I was recently talking to somebody who was actually, we were talking about this debate, and she, I think I mentioned this on the show before, she described herself as, she said, I'm a Republican, but I'm liberal on social issues. And what she basically described was that she's a libertarian, but didn't want to call herself that. You know, in our private lives, all people who are not sociopathic are pretty much following libertarian principles. They don't initiate force to solve problems or meet their goals. And when it comes to their public life or their political life, suddenly it's like they're in a forum where these things are okay. And I really think that people should strive for consistency where, politics is the initiation of force. So I'm really, really against participating in it on any level, in a nutshell.
Yeah, and I think that, like, in the Liberty Movement itself, you get a lot of infighting. I mean, it's kind of little girlish to me. I mean, you'll see some anarchist arguing with minarchist and that kind of stuff. And I really don't want to pick a fight with a minarchist because let's face it, dudes. If we're ever going to get to a degree of self-ownership where there is no government involvement in our lives, I mean, we're probably going to, if we're doing it like via the Free State Project or something like that, we're probably going to at one time roll back government slowly, 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 slowly. But eventually you'll get to a form of minarchism and then take the next step. Take the next step to anarchism and see if it works. So, I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem with somebody going out and voting their morals for somebody whose philosophy is, let's get government out of people's lives. I just don't really know if it's the answer for me. I really don't want to participate anymore in any of their systems or schemes or I don't want to be the governed by the consent of the governed or whatever that damn saying is. I mean, I just kind of feel dirty voting for any politician anymore.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's an emotional level response that any acceptance of the political realities of government is inevitably going to end up at. You simply there's no contract in a vote. Let's not pretend that there is. There's no voice in a vote. Let's not pretend that there is. The people that you're voting for are already bought and paid for by special interest groups. That's just the way that it is. Public choice theory dictates inexorably the way that the government is going to grow and the way that the government is going to go. So to think that your vote anonymously to some guy who's already had his funding paid for by special interest groups, who has no knowledge of your vote, who has no contract with you, who is not bound in any way, shape, or form to fulfill any of his campaign promises to anyone, to imagine that that's going to do a damn thing is the height of self-delusion. And I think what it does, this is the big problem I have with the political addictions of libertarians and minarchists, and anarchists sometimes too, is that we are not self-critical as a movement. We need to be self-critical as a movement, and we need to look at the basic fact that when the Libertarian Party was founded 40-odd years ago, government was a hell of a lot smaller than it is now. So what went wrong? When classical liberalism came in 150 years ago, government was a hell of a lot smaller than it is now. And they tried politics, just as the Libertarian Party tried politics. What went wrong? 300 years ago, or more, Adam's 200, 300 years ago, Adam Smith was writing, Ricardo was writing, all of the great classical economists who were into free trade and the free market and limited government or small government. Government was tiny compared to what it is now. So the political solution has been tried for hundreds of years, and yet we keep doing the same thing over and over again. Some guy comes over the horizon with a halo on his head saying just the right things, and it's like, aha, he's going to save us. This next one is going to be just right. And we don't criticize ourselves and say, it hasn't worked for a couple of hundred years. Why? What are we missing? What other options can we have? We just keep doing the same thing over and over. And I can't help but think it's just a kind of anxiety management. It's just, well, I don't know what to do. So I'll do politics. Well, I don't know how we're going to get the government smaller. So we'll just vote. And people aren't stopping and being self-critical. And what bugs me so much about that is that libertarians are so critical of government programs that never achieve their goals and yet are never repealed. Well, why don't we look at politics as a libertarian program to control the state? If you go all the way back to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, it's a libertarian program to control the state. It has never worked, and yet we won't criticize it. We'll just turn around and criticize the welfare state for not working and never being criticized. So, yeah. I think it's time to look in the mirror and say, look, it hasn't worked. We need to really grapple with that as a movement and start to look to alternatives. I think what the agorists are doing is quite interesting. I obviously have my own approach, which is around peaceful parenting, but we've got to start trying some new things. Otherwise, we just look like people are compulsively washing their hands.
One thing that I've always kind of found interesting, if you look back at history, is that, I mean, every government ends up falling. I mean, that's just, that's what it does. I mean, things get tore up in the world, and any organization is going to end up collapsing over time, no matter what organization that is. But one of the governments that's kind of been around for a long time and will probably continue to be around and is a model for other governments when you think about it, if you're a government and want longevity, wouldn't you look to China? That government's been around quite a while, and they've been very oppressive to their people. Do you think that these politicians who are getting paid in their business of politics and government is not looking at the model plan of other governments that have beat down their people so much that they rule them with an iron fist, and they've been in power for decades and decades and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years? And they do this by brute force. So, I mean, it is if I was in the business of government, I think I would look at China's game plan and go, hey, you know what? Maybe we can be in power more if we enslave them to a deeper level. If we killed more of them.
I know what you're saying. Look, I mean, that's pretty tempting. The problem with that, I think, is that to be a Chinese ruler in like the 14th century, they went through this hyperinflation because they had fiat currency. Hey, doesn't that sound familiar? But right. If you were like a Chinese ruler in the 14th century, you had a pretty shitty life, frankly. You got no antibiotics. If your teeth start to go, it's like, well, all we can do is pull them out and hope you don't die of a tooth infection. I mean, they had a pretty crappy life.
That sounds like Oklahoma, dude.
That's right. What's a great pickup line in Oklahoma? Nice tooth. Anyway. Hey, for a fat chick, you don't sweat too much when you dance. Anyway, but you know, if you grind your people down too much, then they're not very productive. They just get depressed. Like, you can get a slave to stack one brick upon another, but you can't get him to design the internet. So you need, if you're a ruler, you need to give people enough freedom that they think that they can choose their own lives, and then they get all productive, and they want to be capitalists, they want to be entrepreneurs, they want to work hard. That whole dream, of course, is falling apart, which is what's one of the fundamental things that's happening to the modern Western economies. But if you grind your people down too, yeah, you can stay in power, but you know, it's a pretty crappy life when you don't have any running water.
And that was very true, dude. That was my thought too. Is like, I think in the decades in China after Mao, the leaders started to realize, and I think we can really see this happening more today, that they had to let the chicken's feet touch the ground a little bit. You know, like they had to. I mean, we all agree that China seems to be moving in a direction away from communism, right?
I don't know either that, or we're moving in the direction towards it, and it's just looking normal, Brett.
Well, look, England, the British government controls more of the economy than the communist government does in China. So, yeah,
right.
I think they've passed England, and they're, you know, heading that way.
Sure, yeah. I agree that China, I mean, they are getting a little more economic freedom, I guess. I mean, they're probably, in my estimation, they're probably about the same as the United States anymore. Maybe a little less, you know, free market, but it's all relative. I mean, yeah. We don't have a free market here either. I mean,
I would say they're a lot more free market if you count the $80 trillion or whatever of unfunded liabilities that the U.S. has. If you count that as part of the size of the government, then they're way more free than America is and has been for a long time.
Very, very true, dude. So, Brett, do you have anything else you want to add on the voting issue of casting your vote to the angel that'll save you or anything like that? I mean, should our listeners who's on the fence of the minarchist and the anarchist, threshold, what should persuade them besides just saying, I'm no longer going to even think about asking a politician for any permission or waiting on them any longer? What else would persuade them? Would it be, dude, your vote's not going to matter anyway? It's never going to come down to your liberty philosophy to get 51% of the people to agree with you. You don't need that to start with to live as a free man. So how can we teach this philosophy to people in order to let them see the irrelevance of putting their eggs in this politician basket and no longer supporting the system by starting in November and not going to vote for anybody?
What's going to be the turning point? Look, it's all about saying to people, I don't vote. I don't vote. I don't vote. I don't participate in the system. I'm not going to get on my knees and beg for little scraps of freedom and little bits of money to float down from the master's table. I'm not going to do it. I have too much pride. It's, everyone who's interested in the freedom movement, everybody who's a libertarian, everybody who's a minarchist, had better understand that they are leaders. They are leaders whether they want to be or not, because we're such a minority. Yeah, we're growing at times, but, so is the power of the state. But we have to be leaders, which means we have to lead by example. The fact that if you're into freedom, that you don't vote is something you need to say loud and proud and clear and strong. It's important that you don't vote so that other people see your disgust with the system, your contempt for its irrelevance, your lack of desire to shuffle with the other slaves to get a few pieces of bread from the masters. You don't participate in the system because the system is corrupt. And if you participate in the system, you're saying that there's hope for the system. You're saying that the system can work. You're saying that voting matters, in which case, what the hell are you doing being an anarchist or a minarchist?
The other thing, too, in our own lives, we have all these spheres of control. And as we get further and further away, they become less accessible and less controllable. The state is beyond everything else in our lives, as far as its distance, as far as its inaccessibility. But that's where people decide they want to start and where they want to put their effort. Well, before that, they have, the things they dealt with as children, their family situations, what they dealt with at school, and their own personal life, their own emotional health. And any time that I ever found myself, I mean, because we all start there in politics. People don't like the way I talk because I don't have big central plans. They like the big central plans and 14-point plans and decisive leadership. So when I say I don't know how all of these problems would be solved because it might need a bunch of different solutions, for some reason people want that. They want to hang out in that area where they kind of know they have no control. And I don't really understood that, but everything before that, everything in all of those like concentric spheres closer to our person is being neglected. And I think that this is not, like, voting to me is, let's find, it's like chipping away at something from the top instead of building up something new from the bottom, from a personal level. And I think it's very frustrating. It's very, very disempowering. Sure, Ron Paul's campaign in 2008 brought a lot of people into the liberty movement, but I would guess that just as many people walked away frustrated and defeated when they saw the way he was treated by the other candidates, when they saw how hopeless it was, and they just thought, oh, well, I guess there's no political solution, so they walk away. People got burned out and they gave up because they started in the wrong place. You're trying to put a guy who says libertarian things into the position of president in 2008? Are you kidding? So I think it really needs to start somewhere else, not at the most difficult and inaccessible place possible.
One of the very discouraging things that I see out of the whole Ron Paul Liberty movement is people will just throw money at this cause. Now, there are a lot of people who are sitting in county jails for growing a plant. There are a lot of people that sitting in federal prisons for deciding not to pay the master anymore on tax evasion charges and things like that. I think that Liberty money would be much better spent besides having a $5 million in a one-day money bomb for Ron Paul to help out some unfortunate kid that might have got caught with a joint that is looking at spending the next 4 years in jail, ruining his life, being locked up in a cage, and sponsoring causes of that magnitude that actually affect a person's life. I mean, Ron Paul's going to get on Fox News and they're going to ask him the question, do you take your marching orders from the Taliban? That was an honest to God question asked for him in the last election in a debate. There's no way he's going to win, especially when the media is at the status level that it is right now. It's pretty much bought and paid for. I mean, they get their news stories printed from the White House itself, basically. So there's not an opportunity for him to win. And when I see these hardworking people that go out and then they bust their ass every day at their jobs, and then they want to send a politician $100 in order for him to get 3% of the popular vote, it's a waste. You could better sponsor Liberty in other ways, financially even, than sending it to a politician.
I gave him money in 2008 when I was in a very different place. Actually, interesting story. I don't think I ever told this before on the show, but I was listening, you know, to Free Talk Live at the time and Wes's show, Complete Liberty. And on Complete Liberty, I hear about Free Domain Radio. So I'm like on the Ron Paul bandwagon. So I'm going through, Steph had like, oh my goodness, 800 podcasts at the time. And I was just going through them looking for topics that seemed interesting. So I saw a bunch about Ron Paul. So I download them, and boy, did that take the wind out of my sails. And I was like, who is this guy? Why does this Canadian guy care about Ron Paul? But I wound up not voting for him, but I really didn't want to hear that at the time. That was like, those were the first episodes of your show, Steph, that I think I ever listened to. And that was frustrating, wow. Right? Because you kind of know. You kind of know that what you're doing is pointless, and this guy's not going to win. But I remember that. That's interesting. And I was giving him money, so there was some cognitive dissonance there, I think.
I was just supporting my cocaine habit, so I couldn't afford to send Ron Paul money, but that was my story on it.
Look, it's also too late. You know, it's way too late for a libertarian candidate to go in. You know, the time you don't want to get promoted to be captain of the Titanic is after you hit the iceberg. You know, the guy comes up to the first, I don't know, what a first lieutenant says, hey, you're the captain now, I resign. You know, and he starts slithering off towards a lifeboat. It's like, hey, I'm captain, yay, why is there water around my
right.
feet?
Yeah.
Right, so it's, look, the system, we are in the, you know, like some guy dies and his legs keep twitching or his hair keeps growing or his fingernails keep growing. The system is dead. The system is dead for decades. This is just the aftershocks. This is just the after effects. This is not where, this is the last time we ever want a libertarian president, because he's going to preside over the end of the system. And who's going to take the blame? Is it going to be everyone who came before? No. No,
yeah,
it's going to be libertarianism, and it's going to be poisoned for hundreds of years.
Absolutely, right. Dude. Whoever's in charge gets the blame immediately, if it's their fault or not. Hey, Stefan, dude, it was great having you on tonight's episode, man. I really enjoyed this. I mean, you're not probably as smart as Brett and I, but still yet.
I think I'm as smart as you guys put together, certainly not after my manly Canadian beard, which has given me, I must tell you, I must report directly, my 17th chest hair, which I'm going to have a little celebration with some cake and 17 candles. Hopefully none of them will burn my new chest hair, but I'm really quite excited, so thank you.
Yeah, man, it was great having you on, Brett, as always. It's always good having you on. You can check out Brett's show over at schoolsucksproject.com. Check out Stephen's show. I know you're on LRN.FM, little Ian Freeman's pirate radio station. Goodness.
And do you mind if I throw out a few conferences I'll be speaking at just real quick?
Sure. Go ahead and plug yourself,
I'm at the
man.
Porcupine Freedom Festival this summer. I'm at Liberty Fest 2 in New York, September the 10th. 2011 at Libertopia out in San Diego in October. You can go to libertopia.org for more on that. And there's a Liberty Cruise, which you can get at fdrurl.com/cruise in case you wanted to join myself and I think Guy from Freak Talk Live and some other great Liberty thinkers. So listen, just a pitch more for, you know, I want people to come to the conferences even more than I want them to come and see me speak. But I hope that people will go out and support these great people who are organizing this stuff.
Well, the only one of them you mentioned worth a damn is Porkfest, because that's the only one that got me to speak. What do you think about that? The rest are a waste of time.
Oh, well, I guess there goes the neighborhood. But the other two should be really great.
Hey, as always, we thank all of you for tuning in. Listen to Stefan's show over at
freedomainradio.com.
Right. He's always got some great information to share with all of his listening audience. As always, we thank you for tuning in. You can find us at willsoffliberty.com. Search the iTunes store by typing in Wills Off Liberty. And we're also part of the rotation over it. Even though he hates our guts, Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM. I got to plug his show or he beats me. He puts couches on my yard and calls the cops. No, not the way I like. Ian Freeman is straight up a slave driver. He got into the Liberty Movement just to convert it to his whole brand of dictatorship.
No, but what you do what I do, man. Email him once every month and beat me, eat me, licorice whip. And then when you see him, it's a tasty bunch of S&M, which are my initials, so it works pretty well.
And as always, you can also find us over at sapphicaerotica.com. Which is an incredible website if you're into, like, hot girls kissing girls. As always, we thank you for your listening pleasure, and never trade your freedoms for those nasty government comforts.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please help us out by leaving a positive review on iTunes. If you were angered by the show, please help us out by leaving negative reviews everywhere. If you think this is an important message for students, for parents, or for the future of intellectual freedom, please consider supporting us. SchoolSucksProject.com/AV. For $6 a month, you'll get access to hundreds of additional hours of content while helping us grow and spread this message further.